April 26, 1988, Elaine Henderson and Leslie Beale visiting with Doug and Alma Winant. This tape will be done at the Winant home.
But he had just angina. I have it too, yeah. And they told him he inherited it from his mother. But he was he had it pretty bad, and he went to the hospital and had surgery on the 14th of January. And then he thought that he was getting, well, in a week he had to have it again because second surgery in St. Anthony's in Denver, which you wouldn't expect, but he had an infection. And then he went home and he kept hoping that he was okay. He even went back to work a little bit and he was exercising and so on. But he always complained of his back. His back ached real bad, and I'd call him almost every day. I was reading him a diary, and I'd say, I called Ferris again today, and he thinks maybe he's getting along okay, but he still has a terrible backache. And he got up in the morning on the 6th of June and got in a tub of water to kind of relieve the pain in his back, and his heart just stopped. We've lost half of our family. We have two girls left.
Well, I was thinking you had two girls. And
we had three girls. Karen was born quite a bit younger than the
others. I know one of them was Beauty, you know.
That was the oldest.
That's the one that died. Huh?
She is a pretty girl. I'll just show you her picture.
Yeah,
Can't see, Mom, what do you say?
She's going to show me. He told me that she was a beautiful girl.
Mm-hmm. She married
Jimmy Ward while she was here.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Ward. And you was some relation to Keenan.
That's right.
Ms. Ward was
he passed away, and she married again.
Was her hair really that color, that beautiful reddish?
Actually, she tinted it along a bit, but it was a reddish cast, mm-hmm. and she tinted it up, as most girls do.
Beautiful.
She had dark eyes, but that's mm-hmm. That's the way she... You can't see it.
I really do.
You really can't see it. But that was the oldest one. We lost her. Then we had Ramona, who is married to a scientist and teaches school in California and lives in Carlsbad. That's the second daughter. And then Karen was, then Ferris, our son. And then when Chris was 15 and Ramona 13 and Ferris 11, well, then we got Karen, who is 46 today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't remember. I knew you had two girls, and I didn't remember Ferris until she said that...
Well, you told me you lost your son,
yes.
And that I should know about it, and I didn't know.
He used to go with Lyle Sims' daughter.
Yes, he was engaged to Norma Sims for quite a... Uh-huh. I think they were engaged 5 years, but he went to the Navy in the meantime, and so on, and come back, and they broke it off, and he went to Denver and married again, and has three children.
And Norma Simmons...
Sims
was... She married Mrs. She used to come see you sit.
File, was it the file?
Yeah.
The file.
She married the son of Mrs. Files, and he married
Durkin, was the sister to Durkin, Arthur Durkin,
Ms. Fowle married, Harry Edwards' brother, used to come see, they came see.
Oh, yeah, I know who you mean.
Beth Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
She was Beth Durkin, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Beth Durkin. When I was a little kid, the Durkins had a mill on Black Mesa.
Yeah.
And there was an Alma Durkin. My name's Alma. And Beth, and then we've just known them a little bit through the years, but Doug knew Andy File all those years, because they still hauled lumber yet after we moved to the Stirrup Bar in 36, where they still haul lumber down.
They had the road up there to the mill.
That is, it wasn't a good road, but they hauled it down with the team. They came down with a van in a truck.
And dropped it down by the bridges there across Crystal Creek,
They, finally, wouldn't let them saw up in there, you know, and then went to the Jerkin and all those guys had moved the mills out.
Although Mike, we can't
remember
these
names.
Then
they moved the mill down to the hospice there.
That's one of the worst things that happens to you. And you start to tell something and your own, almost your own family, you can't think of their names.
Mm-hmm.
And like Arthur Durkin, I've known the Durkins, you know. Of course
I remember him.
That was
several years ago.
Yeah. Well, he came to lunch there for a long
time. When he
time.
Could, yeah. Sure he did. Well, you know Beth's so poor.
No, I don't know. Because, you know, we've been acquaintances and friends, as you'd say, friends, only that we haven't stayed with close to each other after Andy passed away, didn't he? Andy Pyle. He passed away.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure he did. And Arthur's passed away now too, isn't he? Isn't
Arthur?
Think so. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And I just never see her.
Beth had a stroke, you know, and then she got better.
Oh.
And then she had another, and she's just a vegetable, I understand.
Oh, no.
And
I
heard, she was at Hilltop. But they would have had to have moved her to a nursing home by now.
Yeah.
And he's down at the junction.
Cliff Salmon's wife, you know.
He stays with a
daughter. She had a stroke, and she's just... she'd be a lot better off if it had gotten the first time.
A lot of people that way, though. There's so many, and so many that as they grow older, that they don't want to go on and on and on, but we have no choice.
That's right.
A thing.
I took you on a dinner down here at the Needle Rock, what is it called?
Used to be Silver Dollar.
And
less than
we were sitting around there, and there's all the people were like us. There's all old people.
Did you know Nate Hart, from Cedar Edge, and Ursley Hart?
No.
She was 93, and I hadn't seen her in several years, and I says to Doug, there is Ursley Hart. And we've known her for years, and Nate Hart, they had that big figure four. They lived there at the that basin down in figure four, by the figure four ranch. And
above Eckerd, I'll tell you.
Yeah. And I hadn't seen them. They had that car accident, and then they were both, you know, just had to stay home and everything. And I went to see her a time or two, and they said, well, she couldn't see people at that time. Then you just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I says to Doug, I know that's Ursley sitting there. And so when she started to leave, I asked the lady she was with, who was younger. I said, is that Ursley? And she said, yes, it is. And she said, do you know her? And I said, well, will she know me? And she said, well, we'll see. And but she did the minute I told her, and her mind was clear.
That was nice.
She was 90. She's 93.
But they live at Cedar Edge now, don't they?
They live, it's actually above Cedar Edge, isn't it? They live out in the country, though. Yeah. They have their country home that they've had all these years. Or I didn't ask the other day, but I'm sure they do. I'm sure somebody stays there and takes care of them. And they wouldn't be able to take care of themselves, but they're still both together. But
That's remarkable at that age.
Yes, yes. There's some can and some can't they?
Yeah.
Well, now you want Doug to tell you some of his experiences punching cows, huh?
Sure, I want both of you to get talking.
There's a picture of me right back of you there.
That's a genuine painting. That is made by Charlie Dye. If you're at all familiar with Western art, that was painted by Charlie Dye, who is... paints, he's dead now, but he died of cancer, but it is an original painting and is quite valuable.
Well,
and
you've got some stuff over at Colorado Springs, haven't you? Haven't they got a cowboy museum or something that's over there?
He had it. His pictures were in the Cowboy Hall of Fame. Now this painting, right, this is taken from a painting. This painting, that is a painting, and that's just a picture from a painting, but this is a different artist than this one. This one is done by James Boren, and James Boren is still alive and still does lots of paintings, and this was in the Cowboy Hall of Fame, and that painting sold for $3,000. This one sold for...
This never sold, you just made that.
No, this painting was given to me.
Mm-hmm.
That never did sell. This is a copy of a painting, and it burned down. That sold, was that 5 or 7,000 that that painting sold for up there? And that hung in the Hall of Fame, and then it was bought, and it was in a bank, and the bank burned of all things.
Hmm.
But James Boren painted these, and this one is Nick Eganoffer. These are just sketches here that are done by Nick, who is also a famous artist. Mm-hmm. And if you would write the names down and watch for them in Western art, you would soon recognize them. Nick Eganoffer and James Boren. James Boren's brother is a congressman or a senator or something in Kansas.
You hear
now.
About Boren in Congress.
But this one, that picture there, and this, was all done by James Boren. Then this one is Nick Eganoffer, and these are just sketches, but are quite valuable because they're something that he himself did. And his pictures were in that Cowboy Hall of Fame has kind of changed around, and they're moving it and kind of breaking it up. And some of those paintings are not there. This one is in a home. That one burned in the bank, and I don't know the. We have a book in here of that. I don't know if I could find it just offhand. That is an original, a first copy, first edition, and that's done by Nick Eganoffer, and he used Doug for many, many models. And then it, in the front is a. I'll just see if I can.
It's in a case, please.
I'll see if it's right there. If I don't find it, why we'll let it go.
Well, Doug was working with Bob Rockwell, and Bob Rockwell was congressman from this district. That's in the United States Congress, you know, for a good many years. Before that, Bob was a lieutenant governor at one time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, he was when I first came up to here.
I was always kind of a funny that way. It didn't make any difference to me if he's president of the United States or who he was. So we were riding over to Kirkana one day, and
this book now is. This is a very famous artist, and Doug is, that's where my finger is. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the painting here, and these are all, that is Doug on his horse.
Oh, it's introducing me to some of them.
Maybe I can find some more of these that show. I'm
guys.
Sure probably, that's probably told you that Bob Rockwell is very, very interested
we
in
got
Western
introduced
art. There's a museum named after him. He owns a museum, that is the Collins Museum.
Anyway.
In his name in Corning, New York. And I think some of these have.
The next ride we took by so long, the old guy got off his horse and we shook hands. He said, do you remember me? And I said, yeah, you old bastard. I said, I'll never forget you. And so. They got away when Rockley.
Now, here it is, Emerson Hill. Here is the Nick Eganoffer that painted these, has done paintings and things of Doug. Let's see, here's some.
He thought you ought to have been more polite, huh?
Yeah.
Well, now here's some of Charlie Dye's paintings. And see, he wrote to Doug and I in this. See, to Doug and Alma,
yeah.
And Charlie Dye, it'll tell you a little bit about it there.
Well, Rockwell, in 1928, he bought the hay down there on the McIntyre place.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she dies from.
Now, Frederick Carter.
Is that time, wasn't it?
He's dead now, but he's the man that started all of this Steuben glass. Steuben glass, Frederick Carter. He painted that picture there for Doug and I personally. We knew him through the Rockwells. All this came through the Rockwells. But here's the Frederick Carter glass. You can just glance at it. We have some letters of his.
No.
We got to meet him, and he took a cloud of shine to Doug. And he painted this picture for some of these I've wrote on the outside so that I know which page it is.
You came in here.
1922.
With a load of
Bill Gates shipped in a trainload of cattle, you know.
Yeah. That was 1922.
Yeah, 1922.
Well, I guess I don't have this one written down the page, so I can't. But here gives you an idea. Well, a lot of these I don't have. Here's the Robert F. Rockwell. That's the man we're in contact with, and his. I just didn't mark the page.
Yeah,
and his museum.
You remember old,
that gives you some
Otto
idea.
Otto Lemmon, that little jockey, Gates's.
Yeah.
This one has the Cowboy Artists of America,
but
I don't know which page it tells about Bob and the artists.
With him that year.
But these artists were brought out here, and they all, because Duck is the cowboy, and Duck has a natural for being a model.
Mm-hmm.
He really does.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I look just like Eleanor Roosevelt. Duck can just stand there and
oh,
you know,
Betty
just
Allen's
look just
the
feel good. So they all
so interesting.
Took
well,
such an
Phil
interest
the
boy
in Duck
and
down
and,
here.
And now the picture above there, our daughter painted Ramona.
Yeah,
but the rest
down
of these,
there.
This
but
is another picture.
Oh
now,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
The artists have. We'll say like a club.
He's
and they
two salts of life.
various ones that one year you can make up the brochure, the next year, the next one, the next one.
Yeah.
The year that James Boren made his, he used Doug as a model, and that's Doug there on the in the little round. And this is on a big brochure that went out for all the artists that year, but Doug was the model. And, so, you know, it's been interesting.
Well, it certainly is. You get lots of publicity, Doug.
Well, he says that's all he got out of it was, but it's been an interesting, fun thing. There's a lot more, but I don't need, can't get them all out now, but it's been an interesting, fun thing.
What were you talking about while we were talking? I didn't hear it.
Well, I was telling Doug that Bob Rockwell bought my hay when I was on the McIntyre place. East of Culver there.
Was Doug connected with the place at that time?
No, Tede Heiss was
there. Tede Heiss was here. He was here for 17 years before us.
Yeah.
Then we came and we were here 36 years that Doug took care of the cattle.
Yeah.
Just exactly 36 years. But this is our 52nd year with the Rockwells. This year.
My goodness.
We will have been married 63 years. The 11th of May.
Mm-hmm.
Just coming up fast.
You was married in 2 or 3
No,
years?
In 25. And Henry Welburn married us.
Oh.
He was the Justice
of Peace.
Justice of the Peace in Crawford. He was and he married us, the first one that he ever married. And 2 years later, Charlie Childers and his wife said, well, Doug and Alma were married by the druggist, so we'll be married by the druggist too. And he only married the two. He said, I'll never marry another couple. I'm too nervous and I'm only the Justice of the Peace. But he married the two couples, and both of us went to our 50th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And now we will have our 63rd anniversary next month.
That's
when I came here in 36, and we had about 300 head of cattle. Then we went on. And
Teed had a heart attack, and Doug came and replaced Teed.
A few more cattle, and then boss bought the Creighton over here off of the Allens or the Gates.
That's across the road here, the Creighton.
Yeah, the old Creighton
then
place.
He bought the Zellentice down here, Carter Hillside. Then we had the Reservoir Field, the old Savage place. The Northfield. And then we bought John Collins out up here.
Are you two related or just friends?
Jordan
no,
and I
friends.
Bought him
just
out
friends.
Together
that's
because
fine.
We run cattle together.
Y'all run cattle over on Kerr County, didn't you?
Yeah, we run cattle in Kerr County and Black Mesa and then off up Darfort. Then we went bought the VT bar up there.
That's that big pasture
that's
now.
Gates used to.
George got the Ashball and Loofer.
Gates and Allen's who you bought it off of, wasn't it? The VT bar. And we still have it.
Yeah.
Then.
Gates is
turned
the
out
Loofer
we had
place.
About 5,000 acres. So we fooled around with that a while and got more cattle. Got them up to about 900 head, but every year the the old man had turned just a little more over to me. First thing you know, I was running the ranches and I was running the cattle and I was kind of bought it all. And I had a man here and a man over there and a man down on his own place. Then,
but he passed away suddenly then in 49, and then Bob took over.
Young Bob.
It was put in for trust, and either one of the boys could take it and put the money, they bought it from their own trust and put the money back like people do, and then it goes to the children. And Wilson didn't want it. He had his own place, but yeah. Bob was back east in Corning, and he said he'd take it. If Doug would stay on.
Finished it.
Yeah, excuse me.
Anyway, we got to Old Works and it went on, and I was getting a little stiff in my legs and all, and I told
Young Bob.
You're
eating horses too much.
I told Young Bob, now this is Young Bob, but I thought I'd better quit, but I was get too much for me to run the whole thing. So he said, well, if you quit, I'll quit. And I said, no, you don't need to do that. I said, there's a lot of good guys around here probably do better than I did. And, no, he said, if you quit, I'll quit. And so that's what happened. He sold the whole works off here, and I told him, keep them patches up there. I could drive steeples and fix fences.
So he kept the camp place and the BT bar up there. We have the camp.
So we kept that up there. But
a new cabin was built for us. And we moved into it in 1950. Nobody else has ever lived in it.
But you and this on the side of the road, is that what you...
That's what we kept.
Yeah, what you kept. Then.
The post office, that was Hertha's. Yeah. And this clear up to the crossroads here. We kept for a winter home.
That little narrow strip.
There. Yeah, I know there used to be a fence down
there. Yeah, the old road. You remember
it in Creighton Place. And yeah.
Yeah.
But then Springer, then he sold it off in sections. So now he's back to, he sold the Creighton and he sold a whole lot of it. And so he don't have the amount that was the original amount he bought. But then
he's back to the
home place,
the reservoir field, the savage place, I guess.
Well, old Ralph
Macklin used to. Yeah.
He was there when he was
with Rockwell for years and years.
He was the rancher. He was the rancher there when we come there.
Yeah.
In 1936.
Well, he was there when I came in 1922. I don't know how long he'd been there before. But he was there quite a while.
I don't know either, but he was there when we come, and then. I don't remember how many years afterwards, but he took care of the ranch first, and Doug just had the cattle. Then when he left, then Bob got Doug to kind of supervise the whole works, so he had to, but he always had a man down here. He still just took care of the cattle, but he...
Oh, Ralph was a great guy, if you knew him very well.
He was a great guy.
We'd break close in the spring of the year, he'd have them big old perching. One thing and another, and colts, and when it got so we could farm, he'd hook one of these colts alongside of old, I'm trying to think, Maud, and what was it? I don't remember the other
horse. I can't think of the other horse's name right now.
But anyway, he hooked that colt aside, and I'd hang on to him until he said, let him go, and out across that old pond field. We had him a seat wired on that darn old harrow. The water didn't kill him, but get him wounded or something. But he'd hang on to about two rounds, and that colt was ready to slow her down a little bit.
Well, Jesse Stafford taught school over at Peonia. What's
George Stafford.
Yeah. I know George, when he was a young fellow, he used to work summers with Ralph.
They educated him. They took him in.
Yeah, he went to school, lived in California. You know.
Yeah, they the Rockwells took him in as sort of like a son, but they didn't adopt him, but they gave him his education. So then after he was grown and out on his own and in the world, why, they needed a bookkeeper. So then when Doug came, and Doug never was any bookkeeper. He isn't yet. I'll tell you, the bookkeeping he does. So Bob got George Stafford to keep the books, and George Stafford kept the books up until he passed away. But he got to where, in the end, he couldn't see, and he was having problems, and he left it for a few months. It was kind of in bad shape. So then after he passed away, Bob was here for the funeral, and they had to get somebody to take care of the books. And so they, Doug and Bob went to Paonia to the banker and said, they would go over and find out who was to take care of the books. Of course, there wasn't much books, but then the ranch was sold. And it was just the pastures up there and here, and we still had a few cattle. We had some longhorns, and we had a few buffalo around here, and we had a few horses. Doug had held back. We always have a joke about when they sold the ranch, Bob said to Doug, "Let Jim Springer have every horse you don't want, but you keep all that you want." And Doug started in, and he said, "Okay," he said, "now I want this one and that one and the other one, and can't let that one go and that one." Pretty soon Bob said, "How many, I don't know, we had 10, 12 horses or whatever." And Bob said, "How many are you going to let Jim Springer have?" And he said, "Well, I think there's two of them out there that he can have." He said, "Maybe three."
Well, he's got the old yellow horse.
And, how many longhorns did you keep? You used to have a longhorn.
We kept all the longhorns. Yeah. They didn't get any longhorns. At all, we kept the longhorns, so we had this. But anyway, back to my story. When they came home from Paonia getting their bookkeeper, and they said, "Well, we got our bookkeeper." And I said, "Well, good. Who did you get?" They said, "You." And I've been doing it ever since. And I'm not. The only difference in Doug and me is that I do it and he don't. So I do it, but he doesn't.
I gotta get by here.
Can you get by, Doug?
His legs are bad. He uses a cane to walk it. He can walk without it, but it's, you know, we was talking this morning. Isn't it bad? He was telling about the days he used to ride and go out west, and there was we was talking about Buick Chrysler because Lauren just passed away, and we just was visiting about it. And Buick had a steer out west that he couldn't get caught. And Doug said, "Well, maybe I can go out and get the steer for you." And I said, "These were such wonderful days, but you didn't realize it at the time. At the time, what you looked at it was work." And he got on his horse, and he went out, and he got the steer. And he was telling and describing how he finally worked the steer. And it had been out there a long time, and it was very wild. And he got it in, and he got it in the corral. And he called up Buick, and he said, "I've got your steer in for you. You may come up and get it if you'd like." And Buick came up, and he just brought the pickup that he had with a little old back on it, you know. Doug said, that isn't going to hold that steer. And Buick said, "Why, I've hauled all these cattle in it for years." He said, "There's nothing going to happen." Well, they put the steer in, and of course it just went out over the top just that fast. But we were just thinking about it this morning, and we said, all these things happen, but you didn't think about it then. Mm-hmm. You didn't think about it when you little did you dream you'd ever lose your children. You know, you thought that you'd have them, from that they would take care of you in your old age. And then
here's the stirrup bar horses.
Those are the horses he rode, and he just writes down the names of each one.
Get her straight, those were the stirrup bar horses. Those weren't all I rode. I was dumb enough to ride the
but those were the ones that belonged to the stirrup bar in the 36 years why he had those 36 horses.
36 years you had 51 horses already.
Yeah, that belonged on the stirrup bar and that he rode. So,
now who did George Stafford marry with Paonia? She was Paonia.
Corrine Stafford, Corrine Cady. Mrs. Cady had married again, but and Corrine's name was Corrine something else, and then before he Shepherd. Married her, Shepherd, Corrine Shepherd, wasn't it? And then, but Mrs. Shepherd married again and married Al Cady.
Oh.
And then
that's where I get the Katie then.
Yeah, and yeah. But that was a stepfather. Then he passed away, and Mrs. Katie lived with George and Corrine, and they only had the one daughter, and that daughter was. Everything leaves me when I am talking. They, but anyway, if you remember, she broke her arm, and they, some doctor set it and didn't take the bandage off, didn't take the cast off, and destroyed the arm. And she was, she's alive yet and has just one arm. But then when Corrine was in a car accident, real bad car accident, and she only lived about a year, and then she passed away. And later George married Charlotte Clark. He was a forest ranger over around Paonia,
well,
her father.
Oh, he remembered Jim Old Clark was over here. He had this district.
You probably remember the supervisor Clark.
Well, you know, I really didn't. I didn't run the cattle up on the mesa or anything like that, so I didn't know those rangers like.
Well, he married Charlotte, and because they were old time friends, and so he married her. And then he's passed away, of course, and Charlotte is still living, but they tell me that she's in very bad shape, that her sister is taking care of her, and that she's in very, very bad shape. I haven't seen
her.
Well,
it was when Clark came here, when he was supervisor, when first they started working on the cowman, trying to change him, take this bunch of cattle off here and that bunch there. Getting in this management business. He said there ain't no any cattle up on this country at all. It ought to be just left to Mother Nature, let the deer and the elk have it, I guess. And it might have been all right, too, but if anybody got rich off the cow.
Why did he think that the cattle shouldn't be in here, though?
A lot of people that don't understand about cattle think that the mountains should just be the elk and the deer and the flock. He said the man who makes them, who's making them right there in Colburn, won't make one for under 1,000. And I'm told that that is the price, the starting price on. And he said then by the time I added the things I wanted, it's $1,200.
Well, where is Joe now?
He's around here right now, I think, at the moment, but he. You tell him he has some land over at Norwood.
He's always doing something big, and he went over here towards Norwood down there in the, and he rented about how many thousand acres, 15,000 acres.
Well,
I
think it's
know.
Just 1,200 or something, but I don't know how much it is.
He rented a lot of land down there, and he's going to run several thousand head of cattle. And I said, Joe, have you got your cattle? You know, you got your cattle? And, oh, no, I haven't got them yet. But he said, they ain't going to be long. I'll get them. And he hasn't got a cow yet, I guess. And I don't know what he's going to do.
Who's going to back him?
I don't know who's going to.
You know, darn well, he didn't.
He might have had to let it go. But
who's that, Joe? Who?
Oglesby.
That's Agnes Oglesby's.
Edsel. Edsel Oglesby's boy.
That's right. Edsel worked here on the ranch under Doug for 17 years. He was here, and Joe was born on this place. Joe, all four of the kids was born on this place.
Well, I know Mary Ann used to go over here and babysit for.
They all four were born while they. Lived here, Doug was running the place.
Edsel lived down here, didn't he?
He lived on the Zellenbass, and he also lived in the house there right next to us later on. And that's where Karen used to babysit, was because we lived next door. And then Karen used to go across and babysit. And there's George, Pat, and Linda, and Joe, and Kathleen.
Well, now, which one of the girls married Todd boy?
That is Linda.
Linda?
Linda. She's the second youngster.
That's Jerry Todd's wife.
Mm-hmm.
The present wife?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So he won't let them put that catalog in the museum.
No, I'm going to keep the catalog for the time being. I might give it to you someday, but right now I'd like to have it myself.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm.
And,
be glad to get
but you can
on.
Have the picture from it.
Yeah, it have your name, who it belonged to, and everything
that's
like
right.
that on.
Yeah, we hope to open the museum by Frontier Days. Come see it if you're down there.
That's in
in the old school. No, in the old school in Crawford.
Oh, somebody told me that you were starting up a museum in Crawford.
Yeah,
yeah
we've got the room all ready, but we haven't moved things into it
yet. I thought you were speaking of Hotchkiss. I thought this was
going
to Crawford.
No, this will go to Crawford. We'll move things back and forth, though, as we change displays. It's Hotchkiss Crawford Historical Society, so, you know, we'll use it in both towns.
You know, I have a one-track mind. I'm that.
Yeah,
you
we're
know
talking.
What I'm, that's all right. You go ahead because you've got a visit. But
we're distracting you.
Well, my kids got their education in there. I got educated up on Clairefort when I got out of the eighth
grade.
Kids, well,
all but Ferris graduated from the Crawford High School, anything. Of course. In fact, Karen went there the last year that the high school was there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess Clearfork used to have a pretty good school there when the Floops and all of them were up there. I know I've heard old Heath Floop tell about some of his
name is
his experiences with the school teacher up there.
They used to have about 30
Robin Martha.
Kids, I think I would say was. More or less, but they had quite a kids there, met a bunch of kids, and then we remember Mrs. Elkins, she taught school there.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, she sure put the fear into us kids.
Yeah, Mrs. Elkins was quite a old lady, I think.
She made quite a reputation for herself. She expelled all us boys. She got tired of trying to teach us, so I don't blame her much. She expelled us. That was Sanford Collins and myself, and my brother Jim. And there was a
Jim was quite a bit younger than you, wasn't he?
I can't think of the
Jim is the older. Jim
was
the older one. Yeah, Jim is older than.
Well, you know, I thought he was younger. Right?
No, Jim's the oldest, then Doug, then Josie, then Butch.
Well, I can't think of their names anymore. There's five of us, anyway. What happened, we was sitting back there studying real hard, you know, and she gave us a little lecture for something. Something didn't go just right. One of the kids made a face out of her, I suppose, or something. She called all five of us up there to the cloak hall where the door let in, come in this way, and the door come in this way. She always had a rubber hose about that long, garden hose. She got that old rubber hose out. She said, she called my brother in first. She said, Jim, you come in here now. He come in. She shut the door pretty quick. Ka-whack, ka-whack, ka-whack. I don't remember what Jim was yelling much or not, but generally we hollered as loud as we could so they wouldn't hit us quite so hard.
Make her think she was doing some damage.
Anyway, Stanford. He peeked in, he opened the door and peeked in, and she just raised her darn hose like this, and he grabbed it out around the feet as we went, and we cut it up into little pieces like that so she couldn't use it anymore. That's when she expelled us.
And you don't blame her, huh?
Is old Sanford still alive, do you know?
Who?
Sanford Collins.
I don't know. I think
thank you so much, Elmer, for doing all that. It's a, well, you're, that's an honor to have them again down there. That's a nice thing.
I think it's going to be a wonderful thing.
Maybe we'll have more things that we can put into it. I think it's a nice thing to do. We're trying to, just in our little clubhouse, to kind of collect, what we would like is pictures of the old timers. Like Luther and Carrie Collins, the Meekses, the George and Kate Tracy. But you know, it's very difficult to get pictures. People will say, yes, I'll get you a picture, and I'm going to really work. You really do. Jean Clark, you probably know her, Mark. Jean Clark was at Cowbell's the other night, and I was one of the hostesses, and she had some pictures there, and she was trying to identify.
Well, who's the girl that married your sister that lived on the Wilton Rockwell place?
Doug's sister, are you speaking of?
Yeah.
Doug has just one sister, Josie Mathis. And she's still living. She's
Mathis, that's his name.
Mathis.
Yeah.
Roy Mathis.
Roy Mathis, yeah.
That's where Doug learned all of his cow punching and braiding and so on. A lot of it was from his brother-in-law. But Roy has been dead for 18 years, but Josie is still living. She's in a home in Grand Junction, out at Clifton. She's just been there less than a month now, just a couple of weeks. It's a kind of a private place, but anyway, she's there now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did they have any children?
They adopted a boy. Butch, the youngest brother, adopted a girl, Alice, and she is Alice Alexander that's living on the place over here, but moving off now. And then Josie adopted a boy, Jack Mathis.
Yeah.
And then my sister adopted a girl. So we had a lot of adoptees. Then Karen and Dave, our daughter that's 46 today, adopted a Vietnamese boy.
Hmm.
And,
I was trying to think of who's your sister that lives over there on your...
Davenport. She married Davenport. Irina married Arthur Davenport.
I was trying to think of his name. I couldn't do it.
They're doing very well for themselves. They sold a lot of property up in the mountains to this Bob Meinrich, some of it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He bought one quarter of it. And so they've had, so they're comfortable in their old age, and they do a lot of traveling, and they spend their winters down in Yuma. And I talked to her this morning. They had just been to Denver and back, and
So her first husband was
in the Navy.
Retired Navy man.
Yes, he was a Navy officer, McEachran. And he passed away, and
her daughter married Gallup.
That's right.
Yeah.
A brother to our son-in-law. See, they were cousins, our cousins. Her daughter married our daughter's husband's brother. There's just the two Gallup boys of that family, John and Dave. And Dave's a veterinarian. He's our son-in-law. And then Pat's married to John. It's hard to keep all this family straight.
Oh, it sure is.
Well, tell us where your family is. I don't know where your family is.
There's my grandson over there.
Well, that one's Ferris's son up on the wall there. But
this one?
Yes, that's Ferris's son.
That's his girl, I guess. We got to see an engagement there. Then the great one is over here. That little one right there.
The little great grandkids.
She's named Barely. Rachel.
Well, Les, where are your children?
Well, Bob's in Las Vegas, Nevada now.
In Las Vegas.
And, he's going to visit me next month.
Good.
About the 29th of May coming. And Jerry's at San Bernardino, California. He's in the service yet. He's a flight engineer on the C-141. And Mary Ann lives over on Stuart Mesa, close to Peonia.
Oh, she lives right there. Oh, that's nice. You have her close to home then.
Yeah.
She
married a fellow from New Jersey, Walter Yates, and he's working over at the old mine over by Redstone over there. But Mary Ann's nursing for the Delta Hospital, these old age people around the country, you know, so.
Oh.
The home health. She goes into the homes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's what Elizabeth Tracy did for so long. She mm-hmm. went in the home. She liked it better than working in the hospital.
Well,
in fact, I think she still does it around yeah. Down around Phoenix, or Tucson.
Yeah, we have a daughter. Too, but she gets a lot of these old people that's about ready to die, you know.
I know.
Lose a lot of patients.
Yeah, but they still need the care and need to be taken care of.
Yeah.
And we have the one daughter, Ramona, that lives in California, but when they live so far away, you don't get to see them very often. That's great you have one close to. We don't have, Boulder is the closest we have.
Yeah.
Karen lives in Boulder, and they hope to come back to the home place. They're buying it, and they hope to come when the kids are out of school, which is just 2 more years. Why, they intend to come here and settle. But Ramona just wants it for a summer home. She just wanted a part of the home place, so this is great.
Oh, so that's wonderful.
I'm real glad that Mary Ann lives so close. That
well, she's been there. But they used to live in New Jersey. They'd come out here, Walter Hunt, every fall, didn't they?
Once a year. I know what you mean.
Hunting season. And
that's what
they finally decided she was going
to
move back, so they both
quit the
job.
Moved
back
and
they lived with me there a couple of years before they bought the place over around Pelonia.
But that's nice. That's.
But Jerry's going to come and I deeded the place over to him at where I'm living now, so he'll take it over someday.
I live in Nashville.
Jerry's got so many old cars and stuff that I imagine he's in California.
Are we going to be with somebody there? Are we in their way or anything?
I'm trying to decide what they're
doing.
Doug, look out the window. Who's coming in?
It's a horse trailer in behind.
That's Luce.
Oh, well, I don't think he's bothering me.
Luce Parker?
I was going to show you my. Every year, Rocky Holland gives me a statue. This one here is the last one.
Those are worth a lot of money, aren't they?
These aren't the real bronzes, so come on in, Luce. Hi. You bringing us another horse? Are you bringing us another horse?
Yeah, you act like you need one.
Well, we got two now, so
come on in, Luce.
Hello, Leslie Fields. How you doing, Douglas?
Oh, I'm doing fine here.
I don't know if you know the Rocky Hollands or not. They're quite active in things around. Maybe
well,
you know the Belmonts.
Oh, sure, I know. Oh, I met the Hollands.
Well,
sure.
The Hollands and Belmonts are real close, and the Hollands are distant relatives of the Rockwells. And however, I still think they're our friends, whether the Rockwells were concerned or not. They're quite good friends of ours.
Mm-hmm.
And every year Doug has a birthday. Every year Doug has a birthday. That's a silly statement. Every year on his birthday. We have a dinner, and the Hollands always come, and they bring him one of these each
well,
year.
How nice.
And this
yeah.
Sculptor is a very, his name is Michael Garman, and he's a very close friend of our son-in-law's that was married to Christine, the one that passed away.
Uh-huh.
So that's,
well, that's nice to have a collection like that.
This one Christine gave him, and they had but the others. This is the little Rockwell baby. She actually isn't our granddaughter, but she's named after our daughter that we lost.
Uh-huh.
So her name is Christine, but this is a great-granddaughter they are, and these are great-granddaughters. So.
Doug wants to know something here.
What, Douglas?
Where is that deed at now?
Well, I think you got some work to do before you turn it over to him, but anyway, I told you to put it where you know where it's at, and that's the way you do it. Well, I'll tell you, his bookkeeping is something else again. He never did. He did the work, but somebody
else
went
right to the list, though. He
yeah,
knew right where it does.
He knew where that was, but he has a file. But it's true. It's back of the cactus, clear back in the corner. He can't get out of it, but then he never gets out of it anyway. So I do the bookwork. But this, Luce and Jan are buying the post office.
Oh, they
and,
are. What are they going to do with it?
They're going to live in it.
They are?
They're going to live in it
somehow. Well, Luce is going to cut down on the house,
Well, he's going to build onto it and fix it up, and they're already put a foundation in under it and fixed it up.
They will.
And they're fixing it up, and they asked us what we thought about it, and we said if they would look after our place in the summer, they're here in the summer and gone in the winter, then we could look after that in the winter.
How
and
nice.
They live at Austin in the winter and have the cattle. So they phoned Rockwell's, and Rockwell's phoned us and said, what do you think about it? And we said, it's a good deal if they'll live there. So they promised to live there, and they're fixing it up to live there. And
that's just the way you side of the hill, you know, the feedlot on the other side. The
Yeah, down by Austin. Yeah, that's where Luce and Jan live. They have a cabin back in there, a nice cabin. And so that's where they're at.
I didn't realize they weren't up here all year.
No, for the last few years they've been... Doug, don't you remember where you put it?
I never put it.
Did you give it back to me?
I know I scolded him because maybe I've got it loose.
I ain't worried about that. I'm just wondering about it.
He's dead. Luce is dead. He's one of the first guys I met after I got to Colorado. I met old Curly over at the, oh, what's that place where you come out of Cure Candy? The old grade, you know, coming out of Cure Candy, going up to the old grade, the old road that used to go.
Knotts? Are you thinking Billy Knotts? I don't know who you're thinking of at the moment.
No, that's not it. But anyhow, that's where I met old Curly. And then Curly and I butchered a lot of those cattle we brought in from Arkansas. They called it, they were branded AT. We called them Arkansas Travelers. We butchered them up at the, where Glenn Gum lived up on Crispin, you know, the old Creighton, the old guy that used to run the post office.
Crimley?
Oh, yeah, the old Crimley place up there. We butchered cattle up there for...
How old are you, Les?
88.
You're 88. Yeah. Doug is will be 86, and you're older than Doug then.
Yeah.
Doug will be 86 in August.
Yeah, I was 88 in March.
Will be 79 in June.
You were married. Oh,
I was married. 15.
But old Curly.
Yeah, my mother died, and I was the oldest of the kids, and in those days, times were different. And I couldn't go on to school, and I was marrying a darn fine man, and we were married in 1925, and I wasn't quite 16. I was 16 another month. But, and then I took my little brother and sister to live with me, and Eula lived with me. And then she went and stayed with the Rockwells, the old folks' Rockwells. They took her in, like they did George Stanton, but they didn't send her to school. They just kind of kept her, she helped there and so on. And then she married Doug's brother, and she's the one that has the home place and is selling it to our daughters and their husbands. And so... we're delighted, you know.
Yes.
It's to keep it in the family is just wonderful.
That is wonderful.
It's been very hard on them moving out and getting everything arranged and everything, because my sister is going to Arizona to live. Do you go down in Arizona in the winter somewhere?
No, I'd rather be here.
Well, that's the way Doug is. They try to talk to him about it, and he says, not me. Just go down there all you want to. I like it right here. I want to be right in that bed.
That's the way I am.
He's never wanted to go, and he just absolutely refuses. And I really have no desire to go down there and spend the winter. I really don't. But she's going to make her home down there.
I like the winters here.
And I get awful tired of the cold, and I get tired of the slick roads. But I like my home, little as it is. And for the two of us, we're happy and content here, and I like it. No,
you don't need more room.
Well, I like it. I got so much junk. I've got it stacked under the beds. I've got it stacked all over. I've got everything. I'm a junky person and collect so awfully much, but it's new to us.
Jim Sanderson used to keep his saddle horses and stuff over here at the Creighton place in the wintertime, and when we came down here, I lived in the bunkhouse.
Yeah, there used to be a couple of bunkhouses there.
I lived in the cookhouse with old Milt Allison and old Bill McMillan, and Jock, Otto Lemming, he put had a barrel of mash in the horse manure up here to keep it warm, you know.
To make a drink.
And,
was he one of the Gates's
jockeys? He was Gates's jockey, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And old Milt Allison had a little old still he kept on the cook stove when he was cooking meals. So we made a little auto had lot of corn, made corn mash and one thing, and well, milk distilled that mash and made corn whiskey out of it. Otto put some charcoal in it.
Does that seem real to you, or does it just seem kind of like a dream? You know, well, to me, it don't seem like that. This is. It seems like all of that's kind of like a dream. Back to our oldest daughter now would be 62, I guess, this year, when she has her, would have been. Mm-hmm. And it just don't seem real.
Well, there used to be a pond down here somewhere. There'd be cut ice off in the wintertime.
They used to get the ice when all through the years that we were here. It was off over here. It's back at the clubhouse.
Yeah, a big reservoir over there.
There's a reservoir, and that's where they got their ice.
There used to be a reservoir right over in here. Anyhow, we was cutting ice over there. It was real cold that winter, and I know old Les Stoner one night, give Les a drink of that liquor. And old Les got pretty drunk, and he lived over on this place that John Tuffley bought over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've forgotten the name of it.
Well, we just call it the Tuffley place now, and I've forgotten it too.
But anyhow, he lived over that house at that time. And
big old tall house with an upstairs house, a nice house.
Hattie
Stoner, yeah.
She sure didn't like it when old Les came home drunk.
That was Hattie McMillan, she was, before she was married.
Yeah, she was old Bill McMillan's daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, old Les.
Have you been around here all your life, too?
No, also? Just 9 years.
Oh, just 9 years.
Yeah. But I'm the president of the Historical Society.
I very much, well, then you know Mamie Ferrier real well.
Oh, sure. Very,
well,
yeah.
Mamie's my very dear in-law.
Sister-in-law.
Sister-in-law.
Yeah.
I very much approve of all this and would like to go along with it. In fact, I would become more involved with it. But Doug is not a doer and he's not a goer. He's a worker, but not a doer and a goer. He never would take the office in the cattleman's things, let somebody else in the bookwork. He never would do the bookwork. He did the work, not the bookwork. And to this day, he just doesn't want to do things. Mm-hmm. And now he was the, down at the Pioneer Days, he was the Grand Marshal, the first woman they ever had, I think. Mm-hmm. And Mamie was the first queen. But he just, and at this age, I don't go in meeting.
Oh, no.
We're together. And with the doctors laugh about it, when we come to the doctor's office, why, when they call Doug's name, we march in together. But he doesn't hear, and if I don't, when we get home, he'll say, the doctor said this, the doctor said that. I want to know what the doctor
said.
That's right. Because I still hear, and I don't remember, but I hear. And, but, so I just don't, I have been to some of the historical meetings down in Hotchkiss, but not any amount, because Doug doesn't... he just doesn't go, and so we just...
Well, you can't.
We were invited to a reception clear down at Palisade a week ago Sunday, and a nephew by marriage, and Doug said, why would I go? They're all strangers down there, and I can't see, and his eyes are bugging. I can't hear, and I can't walk.
Yeah.
Well, that's the same way with Les.
What's the fun of going there and sitting among these strangers? And you're just sitting there, what's the good?
Well, he doesn't like to go to meetings for that very
reason.
That's
right. You don't hear, and you don't see, and why would you go? And you just...
But he gets enough, like with him and Doug and you talking. I learn a lot from Les's background.
Carrying on. He's in... Now, you live alone, though, and do your own work. That's great.
But he has Helen and Jack right near
him. Rodstrom.
They've both... piece of land off of them, they hadn't built that, so.
That makes it nice.
Yeah, they came down there 2 or 3 years before Mildred died. It was good for her and good for them, really.
That's right.
Well, and it's still wonderful for him.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. You got to have somebody around. And well, Doug's sister lived alone until this spring, and she developed a hernia, and she had to have a surgery. And just before she had the surgery, but she lived and took care of herself. And, well, they sent people in, but she's kind of hard to get along with. And she wouldn't be agreeable with them and so on. And the kids tried to get help for her. So anyway, just before she had the surgery, she got in the bathtub and she couldn't get out. And they had to get the fire department and get her out. So then she went and had the surgery, and then they sent her to Hilltop House, and then the son said, I'm just not sending her home, not till she gets in a condition where she won't fire everybody that comes. My sister was there, and the lady came to the door, and she said, the daughter-in-law, Jack's wife, wants me to come and clean up your house. I'd like to clean up your house for you. She said, I don't need anybody to clean up the house. That's no. And she said, just go on. I don't want anybody around cleaning up the house. It suits me. You know, well, you can't do things that way. And they couldn't get any. So the son took her to the nursing home. It's a real nice place. And it's called Peachtree Adult Care Center. And he said, just stay right there until you get your strength back where you can take care of yourself, which she never will. And said, as long as you don't let somebody come in and take care of you, you can't stay there alone. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to be contrary,
that's fair enough.
That's fair enough. That's mm-hmm. all you can do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I knew Pink for a long time.
My dad.
Yeah.
He was a great old person, and my grandmother. It was. They thought an awful lot of my grandmother. She was part Indian, and she kind of raised us kids. Mother passed away when I was just 10. And
well, now, was Clint's first wife, was she a dove?
No, that's his sister. Ina is his sister. My mother, my father was only married once, and that was my mother. They had five kids, and this was the old-time pioneers. She married when she was 15. She passed away when she was 27 and had 8 kids.
Oh, my
God. One died at birth, and she had lost a pair of twins that wasn't mature. But five of us was alive. And that's...
I'll put this right here.
Okay, and I'll put it back. So, Ina, it was his one and only sister. And then mother passed away when the flu came around during the war. Wartime, and so when I was 15, when I had a chance to marry him, I just grabbed onto him.
Why,
he hasn't got me since he's tried to, but it didn't work. And the worst of it was that he took in my sister Eula and my little brother and my other sister, but he paid for her way, and he let her go to California and go on to school, to high school, something that none of the rest of us ever had the opportunity to do, but the aunts took her in, and that's Irina that married Arthur Davenport. But Philip, that's my younger brother, he had a terrible time with him. He would come, and they wouldn't have any clothes, and in those days it was hard to get clothes, believe mm-hmm. me. And he'd take him to town and get him a pair of overalls and a pair of shoes and a cap, and Philip would stay just a little while and run off. And then when he'd come back, he wouldn't have anything. And he wouldn't have clothes, and Doug would take him in and fix him once more. I don't know why he ever stuck with me. Eula was wonderful. It was wonderful to have her, and she was worth every cent that we ever had. But Philip was just so... Finally, Bone Mesa School was going then. And we lived up on the hill, right above Bone Mesa School. And that's clear back, you know, like in... Chris was born in 27. That was along about 26, 27. So Philip, Doug bought him a cap, and he'd always throw it away. He didn't want to wear it. And he said it was, he lost it. So Doug gave him a little trouncing, and he went back to the school and got the cap, and he never lost any more caps. But anyway, he didn't stay with us. So. But there, all five of us kids are still living.
You know, I'd forgotten about Philip.
I think that's quite a nice record.
She's got a...
There's Grant, nice. And myself, and Irina, and Eula, and Philip.
Uh-huh.
And that was just taken 2 years ago.
She's got a bunch of
old
pictures.
Well, isn't that wonderful that you still get together?
Yes. Every once in a while, I get them down and look at them.
You wonder from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
With Doug's family, there's the two brothers are gone.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of like me. I know we've got world pictures.
Yeah, and then we have one here with Rick, with Mamie, and myself, with Doug, and you know, with our husbands and wives.
Oh, that's nice that you have that, Alma.
So people know who they are.
Grant and Mimi will have their 60th celebration July the 2nd. And I think it'll be at the Hotchkiss Park on July the 2nd, their anniversary celebration. They've already been married the 60 in January, but the kids couldn't come. See, Vilma,
mm-hmm.
the oldest daughter, is in Alaska, and one of the granddaughters is in Florida and so on. But they can gather on July, and then
that's great.
Eula's coming back up, and it'll be... on July the 2nd, so
Well, you two will come down for that, won't you?
We'll be there.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, we wouldn't miss it for anything.
Well, I'll try to go to that, too.
That's all right.